Warning. This podcast is about to open the sealed section of spirituality.
Hey you. Yeah, you. We see you, you divine human being.
And we are calling you to come home.
We are ready to talk about the real shit. We're going to get real about life as a divine human being.
The good, the not so great, spirituality and taboo. Divinely Human is the podcast that's all about what it means to be human in a spiritual context.
We know it's not just about being spiritual, it's about being human too.
And that means changing poopy nappies and channeling angels.
Sometimes even at the same time. It's time for us to stop making other people's noise our own soundtrack of life.
Let's make some waves together so that we can all ride them together and create deep resonance, a sense of home in this crazy world.
Pour yourself a coffee
or a glass of wine if that's your potion.
And sit down with your new favorite spiritual sisters
as we go on a journey together into what it means to be
a divine human being
on this spiritual journey. Hello and welcome to the Divinely Human podcast. I am your co-host, Alicia.
And I am Tanita.
And we are going to be diving into some really juicy, juicy things today on the podcast. It's something that we already thought that we had podcasted about already, but it turns out we haven't. We've just kind of been touching on this energy over the course of, I feel like, a few months back now. But we did have something really, really funny, and just the timing of this over the weekend was absolutely wild.
Yeah, it was.
It's just like, you can't make this stuff up. And it's crazy because I feel like this happens all of the time with us too. We're consistently and constantly just bouncing off each other when it comes to what we're moving through, the kind of energy that we're feeling, like the shadows that we're exploring as well. And then the drops of insight and the realizations that are coming through. So you messaged me on the weekend.
Yeah.
And you sent me this photo, of this text from a website about this dress that sounded incredible. And it was like pretty much all about like embracing the divine feminine, the dark feminine. Like, what was the name of
the company?
Yeah.
It was Mars the Label. And it was really wild because I didn't even look at the description before I bought this dress. Well, my partner actually stole my phone off me and bought it for me because we both just like fell in love with it. And then after I read the description, I screenshotted it and I sent it to you. And it was like, yeah, this dress is like here to help you step back into the dark feminine, basically. It's like, you know, and then it described the dress and I sent it to you and I was just like, I really have felt this pulling back towards the dark feminine. And it's crazy that I didn't even read the description of this. Like, it came up just so divinely. And your response really, really just amazed me. I could not believe it.
Insane. Because I've got it here and it said, introducing saints and sinners, step back into a world of dark femininity.
Yes.
And then you, without even realizing, you're like, I'm so drawn to this. I need this. And then I, at the exact, because we checked back on the times and you said that at the exact same time, I would have posted this story.
Yeah.
And it was all about the need to, I guess, return to my body and listen to her and do what makes her feel good, whether or not, you know, whatever that may look to the outside world. I'm at this point where I'm like, I don't care. Like, if I want to look after my body, I want to look after my body. If I want to, you know, treat myself to skincare and, you know, skin treatments and moving my body and new clothes to make me feel good, or, you know, any of those external luxuries, I feel like I just need them. And that is because my black moon Lilith on my natal chart is in Capricorn. And for me, that is all about like what makes me feel good is going to actually bring so much abundance to every other aspect of my life. And what makes me feel good with, you know, with her being in Capricorn is like all of this tangible stuff that comes into it. Like, it's not just feeling good or like, you know, sitting there and doing an embodiment, you know, meditation. It's spoiling her and making her feel physically good and pretty much just adorning her in things that enrich her and make her feel sexy and empowered and beautiful. So that is what I was speaking about. And here you were.
Doing it as well. It's crazy.
Doing the exact same thing.
Yes. And what I love about Capricorn too is like Capricorn loves to work with tools, right? Like in its using what we have, the materials around us to support us in our journey and, you know, the direction where we want to go. And I just thought it was absolutely wild that we both were moving through the same thing, but in kind of similar and different ways, because I've been feeling this pull as well. And we kind of touched on it last week with saying, you know, we want to get back into physically moving our body. But something that you said to me on the weekend really hit me, because I've been putting boundaries on allowing myself to feel good, saying, well, you know, after I drop this weight or in a couple of months where after I've hit this goal, like then I will allow myself to buy that thing, or then I will allow myself to start doing this other thing to make me feel really good. And when you told me that, I was like, that is exactly how I've been feeling too. And I'm just so over not buying clothes that I know will make me feel good, because I feel like my body isn't up to society's expectation of what a sexy woman looks like, right? So I think that if anything, right now, there's a major call of acceptance right now as we are in our body and truly devoting ourselves to the life of being a human, and especially a woman, like a woman living out her life. Our body, our energy, it changes so frequently during this life. I feel like I'm never going to like have that picture perfect body in mind, because it's constantly changing. And I have to get to a point where I accept, one, the way that I look, and two, the way that I look is absolutely perfect, right? Like, that's kind of what we're stepping into. Would you feel the same?
I just totally resonate with everything you just said. And what came to mind too, as you were speaking, that is, I guess it kind of goes back to that old way of punishing yourself in a way. If you think about it and unpack that, to have the mentality of I will get this, or I will allow myself to feel this way only when I reach XYZ, automatically that is kind of jumping back into that absolutely incredibly outdated and oppressive way of, you know, punishing yourself or someone punishing you to be able to then, you know, be treated to be, you know, you've been a good girl, like you've suffered, you've been a good girl, and then you can have this. And that makes me, it makes me really sad that I am subconsciously feeling into this and playing this out in my life, when really that's kind of been put on us by society over the last hundred and, you know, however many hundred years. It's just a little bit of a self-sabotaging, toxic way to treat yourself. And I feel like the both of us are finally seeing it and kind of reflecting on how we do treat ourselves and our bodies. And it's just not a loving and nurturing environment to grow in as a woman.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the thing is, you know, we've been doing this for so long. It's such an unconscious pattern. And it's something that, you know, I speak for myself. I see in a lot of the women around me, my mom, my grandma, like all of the women in my family. And you, once you are aware of it, you start to see this pattern played out so much in every single area. And it's just It's crazy, but I'm so grateful that we're stepping into this now and having this conversation, because hopefully it can invite the women and even the men listening, if there are any men, hi, welcome. But if you know that this pattern is playing out in your life, we can invite you to unravel that slowly and understand that it is a really big knot, not just in our lives, but in society. And I think one of the things that I'm like tugging at war with is, you know, I want to be able to express myself with fashion, with makeup, but also I don't want to be playing into the narrative that you have to have specific things to be a woman or like a beautiful woman. You know what I mean? So where I'm at right now is trying to find that balance between wanting to do certain things and have certain things and play with certain things, but also not playing into the narrative of like, you know, sex sells sort of stuff and communism
yeah.
around that.
Yeah. And you know what? That's really interesting as well, because if you look into that and put that under the microscope, that's kind of like not wanting to be defined, but still wanting to be curious and play with the things that are around us that we are allowed to play and dance with, but still not wanting in a way. And I think it does root back to the fear of what others think, may think of the exploration of these things.
Yeah.
I think it plays into that.
Way to call me out. Thank
you. I'm like, oh God, no, because I feel that too. And I'm like, oh, wound exposed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still give a damn about what other people think of me, quite clearly, because I feel the same. I feel the same, you know. I feel like I'm going to be judged in still in this space. And it does come back to the fact that people kind of put people in boxes depending on what they decide to explore and, you know, play around with and do to make themselves feel good. But we no longer, like, to move forward, we no longer should have to live in a society that defines us by the things that we decide to pull in and, you know, play around with and try to see, you know, interact with, I guess you could say, if you were going to simplify it, the things that we decide to interact with throughout our life shouldn't necessarily, or, you know, put us into that box and define us by just that. And I think that we do live in a space and we do work and operate in a space that heavily does this still, you know, the spiritual community still very much like calls people out for the like the some things I hear are just insane, you know, like constantly. Like I like the other day I saw someone, they were on their stories and they were like, anyone who goes and gets Botox isn't spiritual. I'm like, mate, well, I was there 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Thanks for that. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. As if, I just always think, you know, as if the universe is going to look down at you and say, you trying out that thing that's on earth that makes you a horrible person and we're never going to like align what you desire to you. It's like this whole good girl mentality, as soon as you said that, that is so true. And it's something that is woven into the manifesting committee, honestly, because they put these bloody rules on manifesting, like they own it. And then there's things like, we were looking at using YouTube to be a subscription platform to do like a potential project, right? And we looked at it and it was like, only if you have like a certain amount of followers, then you can utilize this. And like Instagram as well will only push your content if it's in a specific niche and it's really closed and boxed and boundaried up. And it's like, we see so much evidence out in the world that you have to fit into a certain box, you have to play a specific role, and you have to follow specific rules to get something that you desire. And it's just like, I'm so over that. I'm so over trying to fit into a box, trying to play out this story that I've been told to play. And I think part of that is that rebellious energy of Lilith, who's just like, I am me and you're either with me or you're not, and that's okay. But she's someone who really wants to push against that, like, traditional, really outdated structure. I'm curious, I meant to ask you before, like, which house is Black Moon Lilith in for you?
Oh, what is it in? Now I feel like I need to go check. I know everyone else's natal charts, yet I never remember my own specifically, which is actually really, really sad. I'm like, I can tell you like 50 people in my community, but when it comes to me, I'm like, oh, wait, let me just check that because, I know that she is, right next to my north node, 12th house. Yeah, she's on top. Yeah, she's on top of my north node. Oh, like, oh, they're both 16 degrees, but the minutes are different. So she's literally right on top of my north node. I've got a really big Black Moon Lilith signature, and the really big my white moon Selena is on my sun.
Oh,
so that's it's that balance of like dark feminine and divine, like light feminine, I guess you could say. But yeah, in the 12th house. What about yours in Capricorn?
Of course, because you're Cap rising. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Mine's in Scorpio in the first house. Ooh, so
that is divine.
Yeah. So I know what you mean about having like a big signature of it. And I think that's why we tune into her energy so much at very similar times, because we are so connected. And I love when, you know, you can utilize the 12th house to understand what tools you have from your past life that you're bringing forward into this life. And I always think about the first house as like something that you're here to master and you're here to fully allow yourself to express. And I feel for me, because I have endured sexual trauma in my past, that I am, part of my lesson is to, you know, accept that sexual energy within myself, not for anybody else. So this is something we were talking about in our messages too. It's like, I want to step into that sexual energy, not to validate myself by anybody else's opinion, but I actually want to do it for myself. Like, I've got my fiance, like, we are good. I don't need to be in my sexual energy for anybody else but me. And that's a major difference that I'm feeling right now, is like stepping into that for me. And I think the lesson comes with like, well, then sharing that online, right? That's the sticky and icky part. That's really, really challenging.
Yeah. And if just to preface this, I guess, for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what Black Moon Lilith represents on our natal charts, she represents the exalted dark feminine, but not dark as in negative feminine. She represents the exalted, like, feminine as a whole, like the unbound, unrestricted, unapologetic feminine in all of her glory, in all of her sexual glory, all of her light, all of her dark and shadows. She's not like the goody two shoes, right? She is like, she does what she wants because it feels like it is the right thing to do, and she's not told what she should do. She's not oppressed. She is embodied, and that's what that represents in our natal charts. And God, you're so right. Like, it, I think that where she lands there, it really, like, everyone who looks at their chart and sees where she lands will resonate in some way with where she is and, you know, something that we've moved through. But I just want to comment on where she is for you in Scorpio. Like, I feel like thinking about Lilith, I feel like she would be the most exalted in Scorpio. Like, Scorpio is like, you know, Lilith, like such, like their energy, it just resonates and kind of synthesizes at the same vibration. Like, it's just so, that's such an amazing, like, strong place for her to be for you. And it, like, in the, obviously in the first house as well, like, Like, you're so here deep to breath. Sort of work past that, you know, that good girl mentality, and to break into that, like, you know, unapologetic, divine, but dark feminine. I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. She definitely comes with her fire, though. Like,
yes.
Like, everybody will, if you know me, like Pisces sun, right? I am really gentle. I am. I'm really sensitive. A lot of people, when they first meet me, they say, you know, I'm really, like, kind and gentle. And I could never, you've even said this to me, I could never imagine you, like, raising your voice or, like, being mad. And I'm like, now that you get to know me, like,
yeah.
You cross me. Yeah.
I
you cross
see your me fire.
And I'm like, yeah, she brings a lot of fire, which is really interesting too, because especially working in spirituality, there is this like push towards being the nice girl. And
everyone's best friend. Everyone's relatable best friend.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It's just an interesting mix of energies. And I think you're right. Like, looking at Black Moon Lilith in your natal chart can really help you understand not only the lessons you're meant to learn around your own untamed feminine energy, but also what you're here to share. Because Lilith, as we know, she is here to be a door opener, just in her own natural state. She's here to invite others into their most fully embodied feminine energy. And I think we naturally do that once we allow that energy to be there. So yeah, definitely invite others to look at where that placement is.
I'm just over here giggling because I just realized something, and, you know, I've had a bit of an aha moment. I was just thinking, it just came to me. I'm like, well, for me, she's in Capricorn, and Capricorn is like the daddy of the zodiac. He's like the dad, you know, dad vibes. It's like head of the house. Yeah. And I've something that happens sometimes for me, and I'm like, it sends me, is that if I do anything that is remotely domestic in my house, like clean up, do the washing, do any of that, if anyone, like, mainly if my partner comes home and he's like, oh my God, I love you so much, thank you for doing the housework, I am sent. I hate it. And I feel like oppressed, like I have to break free. I'm like, I'm packing my bags, I'm getting out of here. Like, I am not a housemaid. Like, but then he's like, I'm just saying that I appreciate you. I'm like, appreciate something else. But that it must be so because funny. It's in that like really dominant like daddy cap position.
Yeah.
Where it's like, don't like tell me I'm a good girl for doing domestic duties, because I will bite your head off.
I love that. That is so funny. But also, like, that Capricorn energy is so hard on itself too. Like, I can imagine you in that being really like almost, it's hard to take a compliment, right? Like, and he's trying to express his love, and Capricorn's like, no, like, yeah, let me do my thing.
Yeah. And I'm a Virgo, like, I should be good at all of this stuff, but I resent it. I don't do the washing in my house. He does it.
Wow. Yeah, I love that.
He does the laundry. I don't clean up. Like, I try to, but, and I do, like, I force myself to do it, but I'm not like a natural, like, I'm going to go get all these domestic duties done. I'm like, fuck the domestic duties. I'm here to run a business.
I'll be in my office.
So I guess in a way she can also show us where we feel oppressed, in what energies we do tend to feel oppressed. And maybe that's a bit of a mirror. She holds up a mirror to maybe explore that and the ideas and the narratives that we hold around that. Obviously there's a few narratives I'm holding on to.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But it's true. Like, and I think one of the other things she brings forward is like this kind of like this narrative around being an easy woman, right? And breaking that too. So there's this narrative that plays out in all of our lives. I'm like 99% sure every woman is being told to make somebody else's life easier or to be quiet or to be smaller or to, do things a certain way so things flow easily. And I feel like she really brings forward this lesson around, well, what do you actually want to do? Not for the sake of anybody else and making anybody else's life easier, but for you. And sometimes the path that she walks down isn't actually easy. It's really sticky, and sometimes it's really dense and it's really uncomfortable. But if anything, she invites us into something so much deeper than just ease. Would you agree?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. And this exactly what you just said, it kind of brings you back to the story of Lilith in its own essence. And, she wasn't just there for herself either. She was there to help the other, divine feminine beings rise up and regain their power. She was the first wife of Adam. And she was told, like, you have to be below him in every sense, physically, during sex, energetically, dynamically below him. And she was like, no, this isn't for me. I'm his equal. Like, I am not below him. I'm his equal. And they're like, we'll cast her out to hell. They're like, well, let's make Eve from my rib. And then,
Oh my
like, what the
gosh.
fuck.
I heard the best quote the other day. My mum was actually telling me, she saw this meme on Facebook and it was like, woman wasn't made from a man's rib to be beneath him or above him, but to be beside him as his
Beside
equal.
him.
And I was like, that's so true. And we forget that, right? We forget that we are meant to be equal to one another. And this leads into the conversation around hierarchy and that whole massive just yuck that's happening at the moment. We're
Absolutely.
dissembling, but
And I feel like, sorry,
sorry.
you go.
No, you go.
I was just gonna quickly say as well before we moved on, it's funny what you said about ease is that she kind of isn't here just to sit in ease and just let everything be easy. Because in the story of Lilith and Adam and Eve as well, it was because she appeared on the tree as a serpent and said to Eve, if you want to eat the apple, eat the fucking apple, And Eve's like, oh, well, I have a choice. And she's like, yes, girl, you have a choice. And then she ate the apple, and then they got cast out of Eden, which was like perfection. Nothing ever bad happened. It was just all good, all love and light. They got cast out into the real world. So it's like, it's not about just living in the Garden of Eden. It's about, journeying through the sweltering hot desert and having your two sons kill each other and or one kill the other. I don't know the story off by heart, but do you know what I mean? Like it isn't about ease. It's not about living in love and light. It is about having to move through shadows. And I love that.
Yeah, you're so right. And she really sacrificed her reputation by doing that too, right? And I think to some degree, I'm needing to do that as well. I need to sacrifice my
That's such a metaphor.
potential, yes, my potential reputation that I'm trying to uphold to achieve XYZ, and rather just do what my body is asking me, do what my feminine energy is asking of me. And truthfully, if anything, the feminine energy doesn't ask you to overbear the masculine within you. It asks you to stand equal with it. And I think it's important to talk about the masculine energy that we all hold in this conversation too, because we have to try and attain an equality between those two energies within us. It's and out in the world as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's if you mold yourself into a hammer, you're always just going to look at everything as a nail. Do you know what I mean? So you do need that oneness, not just the divine dark feminine or the divine feminine. Like, you do need that masculine energy, and it plays such a vital role. Plays such a vital role. It's just the dance between the both, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think Now more than ever, there's such an opportunity to share what we're moving through, and I would just love to be a fly on the wall when women were sitting around the red tent with their periods and, taking that time away from community. Now we're in a space where we get to open the red tent. We get to invite not only other women into this conversation, but men too, and our partners and our children. I think it's a really exciting time that we live in, but with that opening, we comes a lot of vulnerability. And we're talking about this on a podcast where we have no control over who's listening to it. We put it up on many different platforms, so there's multiple ways to access this information. While that is so freeing and exciting, it's also terrifying, right? And it teaches us so much about stepping into this energy even more. So I love that we're doing this and we're having these conversations.
Yeah, they are really important conversations to have. And I was saying this the other day, I was saying, like, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to instill the generation, coming in underneath us, that are going to carry this with value and information, and just educate them in a way that molds them into even better people than we are. And then hopefully they will do the same for the generation after them. And that's evolution. That right there is evolution. Not the gaslighting and the spiritual bypassing and the put sweeping under the rug. That is just not dealing with the elephant in the room, right? But I just, yeah, there's been such a call lately to, it's like we thought that we were finished, because I know that we've both spoken about working with her, months ago. I'm pretty sure it was, 4 or 5 months ago, we both like had spoken on this podcast previously about working with Lilith and, calling in the energy of Lilith, which is really interesting, because I kind of zoned out and thought that I'd learned the lessons that she had presented to me. And then, how funny, as soon as eclipse season finishes, it's like,
Yeah,
hello.
I am back and I'm ready to go. I was
We're
exactly
here
the
for season
same.
two, baby.
I was exactly the same. I think so much came up during the eclipse season that, I didn't really have the time or the space to do it. But she's coming back with bags, I feel. She is ready
Well,
to
health.
move on in.
I think she came back in because we were both really zoned in on our health, like physical health, and wanting to feel better. And it's like, well, you can't feel better if you actually don't love yourself and accept yourself, and you don't, you feel the need to validate and, I guess, in a sense, punish yourself. That's not health. Like, that's going to reap physical, ailments down the track. Like, it has to, energetically, it has to alchemize into that at some point. So, in she comes
Yes,
with more
literally.
lessons.
Oh, I'm so glad we had this conversation. And I'm curious, well, under the Instagram post for this week, drop where your Black Moon Lilith is on your natal chart. Let's have a conversation about it and explore her and her many different areas of life and different, expressions, because truly when she shows up in a different house, it's expressed differently in a different sign. She comes with a different lesson. So let's talk about her a little bit more. I think that'd be really fun. But I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you for listening. And you can find us on Apple, YouTube, Spotify. And we'd really appreciate it if you enjoyed this conversation, if you've listened to any of our other podcast episodes, to leave us a review. That's how we get found. That's how these conversations find new ears and new hearts to, play to. And we really, really appreciate it. So until next week, bye guys.
See ya.